Last week was a long and interesting week for us. Before I ever start, this is a different kind of sermon, so let's pray before I start so I don't get off in the wrong spot. Father God, we come to you right now and we thank and we praise you for your blessings. Father, we ask right now that you would just take this time, Father, use it for your glory. Father, may the words that I speak be yours. Father, we thank you for all that you do, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Yeah, we went on to my niece's graduation. We weren't actually planning on going, but I don't know. I have a hard time saying no to my nieces. So she sent me a text as I was sitting here on a Sunday morning about a month and a half ago and said, would you please come to my graduation? And I'm thinking, that's in Kentucky. That's not Dallas, that's Kentucky. But okay, we went. And on this vacation, we turned it into a mini vacation, the return trip home. And as a parent, I try to find every opportunity I can to make living of life a lesson for my kids. And as a believer, our lives should be a lesson for the world to see. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells the disciples that they will be his witnesses throughout the world, telling everyone about Jesus, and their lives really should center on it. So as we were traveling this last week, I kept asking myself, what can this trip teach us about following God? And this result here is this sermon, as different as it may be. And so there are several things that God really impressed upon me as we went on this trip that really just bring to mind some things that keep me centered where God wants me to be. The first day of the trip was kind of a disaster. Right? We got the kids out of school as soon as we could. As soon as Micah's party was done, we were in the car and ready to go. And as soon as we got in the car, there was electrical problems with the car. Now, the van had problems the week leading up to that, so we couldn't take the van. So we were going to get in the car and take the car. And as we started, you know, everything runs through the Uconnect system, and the Bluetooth wouldn't work, and this wouldn't work. And so we started driving, and I'm trying to fix it while I'm driving. We finally pulled over in Weatherford, and I had to crawl under the dash of the Journey. You know, that was a sight, I'm sure. Find some fuses and pull it out, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. And so we were a lot less on schedule than we planned on being, and we got to Little Rock, and we were going to go to this really cool restaurant because, you know, it was centered around trains, and they were supposed to bring your food to your table by train. We thought, man, Asher would love this after a long day in the car. And we got there, and the guy walks out as we're getting out of the car and says, we're closing early tonight. Y'all need to leave. So then we had to find a different place to go. And Carrie said, well, this one says good Southern cooking. We should go here. And Charlotte was like, I don't have a good feeling about this, Mama. We shouldn't do that. But we went anyway because, you know, Mama's supposed to know what she's talking about. And we got there, and Carrie's food was good, and the rest of us went, oh, this is horrible. And it was too high-priced. But we finished out the day with another three-hour drive into Memphis and stayed overnight. And I was like, this, if the vacation is like this, I'm going home right after the graduation. I'm not even staying an extra night. I'm going to come home. I can't do this. And then the day after is where God really impressed upon me this truth. Because the day after, something different happened. We stopped at a little town called Parker's Crossing. It was a Civil War battlefield. Carrie and I had been there before, and We sat there, and we went to this park, and the kids got to play, and Shiloh and I walked this quarter of a mile track for a while. And after that, I said, let's not go through Nashville. Let's turn here. And Carrie was like, are you kidding? And I was like, no, I'm not kidding. Let's turn here. And we learned on this trip, of that part of the trip, that sometimes the road less traveled leads to the greater blessing. As we went to travel down this road, it was a lot slower paced. It wasn't 75 miles an hour like the interstate was. It was about 50 to 55 miles an hour, but it wound through some of the most beautiful countryside. And we were able to roll down the windows with the kids and just take in the scenery and drive the drives that I remember driving with my family back whenever I was that age. And, you know, and it was these cool little hills that you'd go over, and of course your stomach would come up. And so, you know, it was just this joy and this blessing that occurred because of this. And then we got hungry, and we were like, where are we going to eat? And we stopped at this place called The Restaurant. That's what the name of it was. We were like, where are we going to eat? And it was called The Restaurant, and it was in Indian Mound, Tennessee. Just, it was the only thing in town was The Restaurant, and had a really cool car out front. We went in and had some actual good food, and then got into Kentucky, and we found this idea of the road less traveled leading to the greater blessing. Jesus tells us the same thing in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He says, what enter by the narrow gate? For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. You know, the road of the world is easy, and it's convenient. You can get on the interstate, you can hit your cruise control, and you can just go. And you have everything you need right there. You can find any fast food restaurant you want. You aren't stopping at a place called The Restaurant, because it's not the restaurant there. It's Cracker Barrel, or it's Cotton Patch, or it's Taco Bell, or it's Sonic. All of those things. And you get where you're going, and you don't have to try hard to get there. You just put it on auto drive, and off you go. But doing so, you miss the beauty of the journey God has planned for you. Both the trials and the triumphs. I mean, because God has things planned. And I'm sitting here today, Barry and I did not get together and put these songs together. But as we're singing these songs, I'm thinking about the fact that He's ordered my steps. I'm thinking about the fact that He has given me this journey and this path to follow. And the path that He has me to follow isn't the way of the world. It isn't the road the world wants me to take. It's that path that is narrow, and it's the one that's not taken. In the end, you go through trials and you go through triumphs, but you know it's worth it because of the destination. Take the road less traveled. You know, and I collect coffee mugs. There's one of my mugs that I got on this trip. And so every trip, I pick up at least one mug somewhere. On this trip, I ended up with two. And although the second mug that I got may arguably be the cooler mug, you know, it changes colors and all that cool stuff. But the first mug that I got is my favorite. And I meant to bring it, but I drank a coffee out of it this morning and I forgot to bring it. We got it at the restaurant. The restaurant. Not any, but the one that was called The Restaurant. Because I sit in there and she brought me coffee in this mug, this cup, and I'm looking at it, and it literally just says The Restaurant on it, and it gives the number, and it's still only 7 digits for the number. So, you know, they didn't have this was just a really cool cup for me, and I really wanted it. And so when I got up to pay, I walked up to the counter, and I didn't want to make a big deal. I said, do you sell your mugs? Do you sell your cups? And she said, yeah, I don't think we do. And I'm like, oh, okay. And she said, why, you want a coffee cup? I said, yeah, I want a coffee cup. She says, which one do you want? And I said, I want that one right there. And she walked over and grabbed it. She said, here you go. And she gave it to me. She just gave me the cup. And so I walked away with this free coffee cup. And several times I either just took pictures of people or people took pictures of us because somebody asked. Because what we learned was sometimes you just have to ask. You just have to ask. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 7 and 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. You have to ask to receive the things from God that you want. So often, we sit here and we want to go through life, and we want to just hope that God showers some blessings down. Never telling Him what it is that we want. Never saying, God, this is what I want. Or how often do we say this prayer? Barry and I have had this conversation before. God, please send some rain. Then it sprinkles. And we complain because it was only a sprinkle. Well, did you say, God, send enough rain to water what needs to be watered and to give us the things that we need? Or did you say, please send some rain? How often do we do things where we are not asking God specifically for what we want? We spend our lives hoping things are going to fall into place, hoping things will just be what we want them to be. We're just driving down the road and we hope that all the lights are green. I mean, that's just the big hope we have. But we don't ask God to give us those things. Why? I mean, we never know until you ask. If I hadn't have asked that lady, will you sell your mug, I wouldn't have gotten a free mug. I wouldn't have come home with my biggest piece of treasure from this trip, because I simply asked. You know, James tells us in the 4th chapter of his epistle that we don't have because we don't ask. We need to ask. Third thing that God really taught me this week is that presence is more valuable than presents. Two different spellings there. So, presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, is more valuable than presents or gifts. You know, as the days led up to my niece's graduation, I kept going over and racked my brain trying to figure out what gift I could get her. You don't like to go to graduation empty-handed. And I just kept ended up not taking anything. And at first, I was a bit disappointed. I was a bit sad. I was thinking this could have been my opportunity to give her something that would just completely be what she needed. And I blew it. I didn't do that. And then we had lunch the day of her graduation. My brother-in-law and all his family was there. And he and I are outside at the grill and we're talking. And as we talked, he said, "Man, I really appreciate you coming." You have to understand, my brother-in-law is, he adopted my nieces. He is not their biological father. But he loves them more than anybody could ever love these children. And he said, "Man, just thank you so much for coming." He said, for weeks, she has been saying, "Is Bubby really coming? Is Bubby really going to be here? Is he going to be here? Do you think he's going to be here, Dad? Is Bubby going to show up?" And the look on Aubrey's face when we walked in, it's priceless. We were given instructions that I had to make sure were right instructions by her. I thought maybe she was just saying this. She said, "I want y'all to be the loudest ones there when I go across the stage." So as she was preparing to go across, I leaned forward to my sister and I said, "Was she serious? Before I embarrass her, was she serious?" Said, "Because I can get loud." And so the smile on her face as she walked across the stage, as she heard me and her two sisters, was more than anything. But that's when it hit me that presence is more valuable than presents. I could have given her many valuable things for graduation, but the thing she will remember as that we came and we yelled really loud. And God believes that too. Whenever we see God in Scripture, we see this truth. He sent blessings on His people throughout history, but His greatest gift was always His presence. He says over and over again, "I will be with you." And even the greatest gift He ever gave there in Matthew chapter 1, it says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Presence is more valuable than presence. And you know, even with the story of Mary and Martha, we've talked about that before. The greater thing, Jesus said, was the presence, was sitting at His feet, was soaking in the teachings, not doing the things that needed to be done. And continually we see Jesus going away to a place of solitude to spend time with the Father. We can't spend our days chasing after the presence of God. We should spend our days seeking His presence. Because God will give blessings, but the greatest blessing we can ever have is time in His presence, is time with Him. Maybe the most important thing I learned on this trip was self-control is sometimes better than self-defense. Sometimes our mouths get us in trouble. And I think my family was a little afraid that was about to happen last Sunday. Carrie said she didn't want to say much about the church service because she knew I was going to talk about it. We went to the church that my sister and brother-in-law attend. His how do you describe Margaret? He calls her his sister mama. She's much older than him, and she's the one who technically raised him, and mama passed away when he was really young. So she's his sister, but she's also his mom, and so there's all this stuff. But she's the pastor, and we went, and there's not a denomination, it's a holiness church, and I enjoyed it up to a point. In the tradition, because I was a pastor, they wanted me to sit on the stage, and I said, I'll sit with my family. But they put us in the first row. That's always fun. You know, like where Barry and Ellen are sitting, not the first row back, right here. So we're on the first row, and they had me sing that morning, so I sang. It was, you know, that was a good thing, and it was, the Spirit was moving, there's no doubt. And they had a special speaker that morning, a healer from Arizona. And no problem with the message. Had an altar call. People came down to be prayed over. No problem with that. And then, she stops. Oh, I wasn't going to say the gender. Oops. Stops in front of me. This, okay. Y'all got out at 11:35 last week. This is at 3 hours into the service. She stops in front of me. My daughter is sitting in my lap. The little one is holding it together, and Shiloh's right there beside me. And she says, and I had no problem with this part, you need to mind your parents. Okay, good. Yes, yes. And then she looked, and she started to try to go deeper and started trying to pick things apart. And it was very pointed. My brother-in-law is sitting over behind me, and I can hear him shuffling in his seat. And then she looks at Micah and says, and I want you to bring your grades up. Micah's lowest grade this year was a 98. Okay. And so Micah looks at me, and I kind of went, and I didn't say anything. She goes, I hit on something, didn't I? And I was like, yeah, no. So then she turns to Shiloh and says, it's you, isn't it? And Shiloh looks at me, and I said, buddy, you got to get better than 101. And then she said, oh, you got the spirit of a prophet, and left. Okay, so here's... I have no issue with that, because if you know really the gift of prophecy, it's not as much about telling the future as it is about speaking forth the truth. And if you're ever around Shiloh long enough, the boy does that. I think she got afraid in that moment and went, oh, I better hush, because he's going to say something. My family's back there, though, and I look over my shoulder, and they're going, we're going now, come on. So it's 3 hours in. We don't know how long it lasted. We left. But I could have stood and began trying to defend my children in that moment. I could have. And I could have said lots of things, but the Spirit in me said, be quiet. And in that quietness, the speaker made her own mistake. When she called out the grades, they need to be higher. You should have seen the look on my brother-in-law's mom's face when, because we've already talked about my kids, and she's sitting there going, oh, she stepped in it. I mean, yeah, you're passing this off as the Spirit of God, but yet it's completely wrong. It's completely wrong. And so in that moment, the speaker made her own mistake. You know, James 1, 19 and 20 says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, we could avoid so many issues if we simply followed this command. How often do you respond to something you didn't hear correctly? I mean, you know, you get mad and you get riled up because you thought somebody said something and that's not the something that somebody said. And so you've said something now that you shouldn't have said, because what you thought was going to be said isn't what was said, and that's not the something that somebody said. And so you've said something now that you shouldn't have said. Do you find yourself in a situation because you spoke too quickly? Said something too fast and it would have taken care of itself. How often do you find yourself in trouble because your fuse was too short? Because you just couldn't handle it anymore. You know, most times, self-control is better than self-defense. Because God will do the battle for you. But the last thing that we really learned, I think it's the last thing. No, it's not. Sorry. Whew. I'm still living back for a three-hour service. We'll be out before 3 hours, I promise. You can't judge a book by its cover. We did many things on this trip we weren't sure about. I'm not a big beach person. And we went to a beach on Lake Michigan. You ever been to the Great Lakes? Carrie was like, are you sure this is a lake? Yes, I'm sure it's a lake. Because it looks like the ocean. You can't see the other side. It's just huge. It's there. It's white sand. You know, we had a really good time, even though parking was, you know, $15. But still, well, we won't go there. And then we went to Chicago. I don't like cities. I would much rather not be in a city, but I loved Chicago. It was the neatest place that I think I've ever been to. I mean, it was just, and it's the third largest city in the United States. So it's bigger than Dallas. And I'm going, on the way there, I'm thinking, I'm only going here because Shiloh wants to go to Chicago. This boy better love me because I do not, but it really wasn't bad. You know, we got to see the firehouse from Chicago Fire. You know, we got to see Wrigley Field. We got to park in a parking garage that they park their parking garages in the underground, which is kind of freaky. But, you know, you go underground and the little thing, there was all this stuff that we really didn't think we were going to like, but we absolutely did. And then we went to the Spam Museum. Hey, I mean, what's not to like about the Spam Museum, right? We were looking for free things to do. It was free, and we pulled over, and it was the coolest place. It was the coolest. They had a play area in there. They had an area where you got to time yourself on how fast you could put this play Spam in a can. You could take a quiz to tell what kind of Spam you are. I was hot and spicy, but that's beside the point. All of these things that happened, but the Spam Museum was, and in every instance, we liked these things more than we thought we would. We had to look deeper to find that we liked it. In John 7:24, Jesus says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Here in that point, the Jews are judging Jesus for his teachings and for healing on the Sabbath, and he tells them to look deeper to understand. Too often we make judgments by past experience or appearance rather than the actual facts of the situation. That was the case with the anointing of David too, right? Samuel goes to anoint him, and man, this kid has got to be the guy. He's muscular, he's buff, he stands ahead of everybody else, and God says, that's not him. Man, we have to learn to look past what we first think. We have to learn to follow through with what God wants us to do. And when we see that we don't judge a book by its cover, you might be amazed at what God can do, because some of the strongest Christians that I know do not look like those of us sitting in the pews today. They look completely different, and we probably wouldn't approach them on the street, but man, their faith is awesome. Now, the last thing, promise. Sometimes the beginning of a thing does not match the end. One of the biggest surprises for me in the entire trip was the Mississippi River in Minnesota. Up there where the Mississippi begins, it's not a mile across. It doesn't look anything like all the other places I have crossed the Mississippi River. It's a normal size bridge. You just cross it and you wouldn't know it was a Mississippi River except for the sign says Mississippi River. But if you've ever seen the end of the Mississippi River or any part on the southern part of it, whether that's St. Louis, Memphis, or down there in New Orleans, the Mississippi River is this powerful body of water with currents that do mighty and wonderful things. And it starts up there with this small river. Sometimes what starts small becomes something big. Over in the book of Zechariah, We're told, for whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. You know, it's this idea. Other translations say, do not despise the day of small things. Just because something starts small doesn't mean it'll stay small. Man, how often do we give up too early on things in ministry because it didn't start the way we wanted it to start? Just because something starts small doesn't mean it'll stay small. The church started with 11 disciples. Judas wasn't there. And look at it now. Every part of our lives can teach us a lesson if we let it. Everything that we do, we can see God working. We can find the things and the truth that God wants for us. You know, as I made these discoveries along the way, as God impressed upon me these truths, I kept thinking, wow, what would I miss if I hadn't have been looking? What would I have missed if I hadn't said, God, show me what you want me to see on this trip? Because I've told you about the good things. I promise you there were bad things. If you've ever gotten a little bitty car with five people, bad things happen. I don't know how many times I heard, he's touching me. Tell her to quit leaning on me. But in the midst of all of that, God is still speaking. Are you looking for the things that God is trying to teach you today? Are you looking for those things? Because sometimes they come from the most unlikely of sources. Maybe this morning God has been trying to speak to you through things that you're going through. Maybe there are situations in your life, there are ideas that have been popping in your head and you've been going, yeah, I don't know about that. Like Carrie said today, maybe you're going, God, I'm not ready for that. But just do what God's called you to do. And it's amazing when you do that. Because if God has called you to it, He's going to bring you through it. He's going to give you what you need. Maybe this morning you want to pray. The altar's open. I'll pray with you. Maybe you want to surrender to missions or ministry. Maybe you want to join this church in membership. Maybe this morning you've never known Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you go through life and nothing can give you those kind of insights because you don't have Jesus speaking into your life. You don't have the Spirit whispering things in your ear. And so all of these things happen and you could be learning so much. But because you don't have one, I'll pray with you. Father God, we come to you right now and we thank you and we praise you for your blessings.